Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, April the 5th. But it's a chilly one today. I thought spring was here. Anyway, the temperatures have been going up and down. But the weather's holding. A little bit of rain, but here in Bastion, Virginia, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. Anyway, everybody was in action this week, and sort of kind of in my backyard was the Camping World Truck Series and the Sprint Cup Series. So a couple hours away from here, I'm going to track down the ride one of these days and see how long it takes me to get there, because I know I can do it via back roads, but it's just something I haven't gotten around to yet. Anyway, the IndyCar Series was out in Phoenix for their Desert Diamond West Valley Phoenix Grand Prix. I don't know why they called it a Grand Prix. It was 250 laps on the 1 mile Phoenix International Speedway. So it's one of the few oval races they run. They don't run that kind of distance on a road course. They might run maybe 90, 100 laps, depending on the track. So the one in Wisconsin is 4 miles long, so you know they're not running 250 laps there. Almost as big as be a longer race than the Indianapolis 500, distance-wise. Anyway, coming home in the battle of supercar owners between Penske and Ganassi, they're the biggest two out there, and Andretti. It was Target Chip Ganassi Racing taking the trophy with Scotty Dixon taking the top spot. And gaining some points on Penske driver Simone Pagenaud, who finished second to him. So there's your points battle right there. Pagenaud is leading the points and with 83 and Dixon is 4 points behind with 79, so it's there. And there are your two front runners finishing one and two. Will Power wound up taking third spot for another Penske powered machine, owned machine, Tony Kanaan, who was running for Chip Ganassi, fourth, and Graham Rahal, top five finish there, rounded out the top five for Rahal Lutterman. He's married to Courtney Force, daughter of John Force, funny car driver, well, John and Courtney, and Brittany runs the top fuel division, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But good run for him in the Rahal Lutterman Honda. Joseph Newgarden took home sixth. Max Chilton, seventh. Eighth, Sebastian Bourdais. Ninth is Juan Pablo Montoya, who went back to Penske after leaving Ganassi. When he drove the 42 car, now driven by Kyle Larson in the Sprint Cup Series, won back for the number one competitor. So it's kind of funny how they go. Montoya got his start with Ganassi in IndyCar Series, won the Indianapolis 500 way back in the day. I saw the ring on Chip Ganassi. I was sitting right next to him at the Champions Luncheon, which was one of the postseason events before the big Sprint Cup Champions Banquet when they held it in New York. Now that they run it in Vegas, it's a little tough to get to. In New York, I could hop the train from my house just outside of Philly and from Trenton into Port Authority and then take the subway all the way to Times Square and just walked a few blocks. What an experience going to New York by myself for work. So I could bring you experience of what it's like to rub elbows with the top driver. Montoya had won Rookie of the Year that year, so that's why they were at that lunch. And Jimmy Johnson won the championship. I think it was his first. That was his first or second. It was his second one. I was there for his first one, too. But and then they decided to move it to Vegas. The economy went a little sour. The cost of doing New York, plus the weather. You're talking December. It's right before the end. It was between the end of the season and before they put up the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center. But that's another story for another day. But anyway, Montoya being there and then going over to Formula One after his Indy days and then coming here to NASCAR. And then now he's back in the IndyCar driving for Penske. And then he won the Indy 500 as well last season. So that being said, two Indy 500 championship rings. And you never know, he's had a shot at a third. I wonder if any NASCAR drivers are going to run the 1,100 miles this year. It's going to come up and real quick in a couple of months. The Indy 500 and Coke 600. Kurt Busch did it. He had a good top 10 finish in the Indy 500, and the day didn't last that long in the Coke 600 as he had problems. But that's what happened. Anyway, the race was an hour and 49 minutes long. Average speed of 139.8 miles of victory. The margin of victory ended under yellow, which always kind of rots, but maybe they would go to a green-white checker finish. Imagine the chaos that would cause. But that would be kind of interesting. Yeah, and it was only 55 caution laps. So more than the race stayed green. There's only two lead changes, though. So Castroneves, Dixon, and Montoya were your only leaders. Castroneves led the first 39 laps. Juan Pablo led the next 55 laps, but Scotty Dixon led the last 39 laps. So I don't know how they figured that one out. From I think they meant 139 laps. I'm looking at the stats here, and they left something out. Oh, okay, here it is. Castroneves led 30. I'm reading them backwards. 155 laps for Dixon, 56 laps for Montoya, and 39 laps. Don't mind me. That's what happens. One of these days, I'm going to get off to get some IndyCar guys on. Usually have to pre-tape them, so we'll get them on before the next race. Let me get into my contacts there and see who I can grab. So the points as they stand, it's Pagano leading the standings, believe it or not. And Scotty Dixon is second. Third is Juan Pablo Montoya. Right behind him in fourth is Ryan Hunter-Reay. Fifth is Tony Kanaan. Castroneves. Seventh is Graham Rahal. It's probably his best run in IndyCar series to date in his career. Eighth, Mikhail Alation. Ninth is Takuma Sato. He's been in the series a while, driving for AJ Foyt now. And 10th, Max Chilton, who is one of the Ganassi stables. So there's your top 10 in points in the Verizon IndyCar Series. So on to the next event. We'll keep you up to date when that is. So anyway, out to the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. They were out in the Strip in Las Vegas, not the one where the casinos are on, but at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And it got to be pretty interesting there because in the top fuel division, it came down to the defending champ, Antron Brown, and Troy Buff, who is somebody that's relatively new to the top field division. I think he's only been his first year I can remember hearing his name, and I've been following this for a few years now to cover it for you guys here. If you want to give me a call here on Garage Talk Live before I get into it, the number is 646-649-1899. But anyway, a lot of the big names got knocked out early. Troy Buff had to go through some tough customers. He went through Richie Crampton, and he had to face Brittany Force in round two, and then J.R. Todd in the semifinals before facing the defending champ. But Brown, who qualified third overall for the eliminations. Now, by the way, Troy Buff was the number 12th qualifier. If they were 16, make it. First race is 16th, second, 15th, and, you know, until they get to the middle. But Antron had to go through some tough customers, too. We're up against 14th qualifier, Scott Palmer. Now, you people in Philly, it's not the old sportscaster. He works for the Phillies now. He was able to dispatch him with 384 to Palmer's 412. Then his next round opponent was Leah Pritchett, who had won the Wally earlier this season, taking home the Wally for her first win out in Pomona. And then he wound up, this was a close one, folks. I watched the whole elimination, so I was able to keep an eye on this. It was a 384 to her 387. The only reason I think if she would have got a better time off the tree, she might pull the whole shot victory. But he went on to face Dave Connolly, who's no slouch either. He was a seventh qualifier. And it was 386 for Connolly to Antron's 382. So he was able to move on to the finals. Troy Buff, on the other hand, after beating Richie Crampton, of course, he had to face a lot of the top qualifiers just to get in there against Brittany Force, and this was a 392 from Buff to Brittany's 397. The reaction time, though, was a 124 for Brittany and 040 for Buff. So he got out of the gate quicker and got down the track quicker. But it was not as much of a gap. You're talking 5/100ths of a second. You know, it's close. So she would have got it out of the gate with the same eat, with the same reaction time. Might have been even closer, even though the ETs were pretty much there. She might even got them because, well, anyway, it didn't happen. 5/100ths of a second isn't that much time to make up. But anyway, he went on to face J.R. Todd. Todd had problems, and Buff had a 391, which was his best run of the day so far. And up against Antron Brown, Antron, when you're running 3/8, it's hard to catch. He took it, the Wally, with a 384, and Buff had a 391 with an 8, so 0.08 of a second difference between Buff's run against Todd and his run against Antron, which was pretty good. Troy Buff was running 390s for the last three rounds. His only slower round was a 496, but Crampton had a 744 or so. It was kind of like a pedal fest, but Buff was able to reclaim that. In the funny car division, it was a battle of teammates for the Wally. Del Worsham, who's the defending funny car champ, up against the person he used to crew chief for, Alexis DeGioia. Now, we've had Alexis on a couple years ago, and she had a really good season, and we'll have to get her on again. It's kind of hard to get hold of. But anyway, Dell coming into the race as the number fifth qualifier. And Alexis, she was the number six qualifier. So they were pretty equal coming into the final elimination event. And we'll start with Big Dell, being he's the champ. We'll go with him first. He wound up against John Hale, who was a 12th place qualifier. And he ran a 407, the 404 to Hale's 408. And then up against Jim Campbell in round two with a 405. And Campbell's 426 was basically not much of a contest there. Up against Chad Head in the semis, a little bit closer. Bell had a 402 to Head's 403. So you're talking real tight. Head was off the tree 5/1000ths of a second quicker, 065 to Worsham's 070, but didn't make a difference. I think that difference was made up on the track by Dell. You know, we're talking 318 to 315 mile an hour for the loser in that round, and that set the stage for the finale between DeGioia and Worsham. Of course, DeGioia's path, she had a real tough battle. She was going against some of the top runners of the day, of the weekend. There she went up against Tommy Johnson Jr., who she outqualified. She ran a 400 with a 6 to Johnson's 407. He got out of the hole quicker, but his car was just a hair slower. And then she had to go up against a guy that she beat for her very first funny car win, and actually had them both on the show the day after or the week after. I had them on, you know, right after their win. So it was great having Alexis on and then Rob White. And he was the three qualifier. So this is one where it came down to the whole shot. Reaction time for both was that close. It was here, let me set the stage. The light flashes from the staging, hits yellow, they punch the throttle, and Alexis was a little quicker by 0.73, and Rob Height had an 0.76. We're talking 0.03 of a second, getting on the gas quicker. Height had a 4.00 with a 4, with a 320.2 mile an hour. Alexis had a 4.00 with a 5 at 315.86 miles an hour. So that 0.03 of a second quickness out of the tree was a difference of a 0.01 of a second slower ET to finish line first. And then she had to go up against another tough customer, Robert Height's car owner, John Force. That one was a pretty good drag race. It wasn't as close as the one with Height, but Force got out of the gate quicker. He was 4.05 with a 3 in the losing effort. Alexis at an 0.89. She was a 4.01 with a 2. So she was able to flat out beat him and then set the stage for the match with her former crew chief and teammate and defending champ, Del Worsham. So when the tree turned green, Worsham with an 0.83, Alexis with an 0.82. You see where I'm going with this here. Worsham got down the track at a 3.98 with an 8 at 323.5 miles an hour. But it wasn't good enough. It was not good enough. Alexis DeGioia takes it home, but a 3.96 beats Dell by 0.02 of a second. She had a 3.96 with an 8. He had a 3.98 with an 8, 315 miles an hour, making her the third woman to win a Wally this season. Two in the top fuel was Leah Pritchett first, and then last time out was Brittany Force. And now Alexis adds her name to the list. Now if we can get in the next two events, because it's been a strange run here at the track that as we go to the Pro Stock Series division, owned the past few years by Erica Ender Stevens. She also won the K&N Shootout and the Wally last year and a few years and the year before. She never hasn't lost at this track in quite some time. This year, I don't know. She just, they did something with that team that shocks the bejesus out of me. I mean, not only do they have to go to fuel injection, but they changed manufacturers. Why do you change manufacturers when you're on a winning note? Considering, at this, one of her teammates is still driving a Chevy. Her new teammate is driving a Dodge. She went with the Dodge teammate as opposed to the Chevy teammate. I think she should have stayed the same. I think that Chevy's a little quicker. Her teammate is Jake Coughlin, and up in round one, it was the teammates, Drew Skillman in the Chevy, who qualified fourth, against Chegg Coughlin in the Dodge, who qualified 13th. Ted Coughlin's been around. He's got a few championships under his belt. I could understand, bringing him on. And then Erica with the most recent championships. She's been having a rough season so far. I mean, she hasn't gotten out of the first round in the first two events. This is, in essence, she started qualified fifth and was the runner-up in the Canaan Challenge. So she still thought she would have had a chance. But anyway, she went up against Aaron Strong in round one. I'll get to the winners in a minute, but I'm still confused by the situation. They went to the fuel injection, the carburetor with the big hood scoop anymore. It's a little hood scoop and upraised hood, we'll call it, and manufacturer change. They're still trying to figure this one out. But she did take round one. She went 009 reaction time. When it comes to reaction time, she's that good. When she's usually running double zeros, and she did that against Aaron Strong, who actually fouled out, because you got to jump on it when you're up on the tree against her, because she's got that light pretty close. She went up against her teammate, Drew Skillman, and he had a quicker ET. He had a 6.80 with a 7 in the second round, and she had a 6.84 with a 5. But here's where she got him. His reaction time of 0.62 was nowhere near as good as her 0.006. So she was able to take the whole shot and move on to the semis, which was her best run of the season this year. But she went up against the number one qualifier, and the guy she beat for her first championship 2 years ago, Jason Lyne. Lyne was the number one qualifier. He's running the Chevy this year. Him, Greg Anderson, and Bo Butner, they're the on the same team, and they're running Chevy. So last year they were running Dodges, so I'm kind of everybody's swapping stuff up here. But they decided to go with the Chevys, and it's been paying off, because I think Greg Anderson has already got a win under his belt, and so I think Jason Lyne as well. But anyway, he wound up going through Matt Hartford, Chris McGahey in round two, and then up against Erica in round three, where he had an 0.13 reaction. Erica was an 0.21, which is not her typical start. Out of she was distracted or what, but for her to get out of the hole at an 0-2 versus his 0-1, especially when she's been double O's the first couple rounds, she wound up losing to Lyne 6.80 to his 7.37. If she could have got a 0.06 or 0.09 like she did the first round, like she might have pulled off another hole shot. But that wasn't the case, and Lyne does go on to the final round. And he winds up facing his teammate, Bo Butner. Butner, number three qualifier, running 669 in round one. Wound up facing V Gaines, the 14th qualifier, taking him out by 0.2 of a second. the whole shot didn't matter. I mean, the reaction time didn't matter there. Butler was 2/100 slower off the tree, but Carr was that much stronger with a 669. It wasn't the low ET of the weekend, believe it or not. That was a 668 by Jason Lyne, and that was in qualifying. That probably that gave him the number one. And but he made it to the finals anyway. And then Butler, after V Gaines, went up against Derek Kramer, who broke at the line, even though Kramer had a 0-1-9 reaction. Butler's 0-5. Butler stayed at a 670. Was 669, 670, you're not talking much. Then that went up against Greg Anderson, his teammate. Anderson defeated Alan Johnson and Joey Gross. Make it to the semis. Anderson had an 004 run out of the tree, but wound up with having problems, finished with a 12-33. Butner at a 6-7-0. It was it'd been a consistent run. And then setting up the stage for the final against two teammates was Jason Lyne and Bo Butner. Lyne with an 0-55 and a 6-71. Butner with a 6-70 with a 9. You would have thought he would have won it, but Butner out of the hole a little quicker than he should, tripped the red light, and was disqualified, giving the win to Jason Lyne. So bringing it down to the point standings in the top field division, Antron Brown with his win got a little closer to Brittany Force, who's leading the points. Brown second, Doug Kalita third, Steve Torrance fourth, Clay Milliken fifth, Leah Pritchett, sixth, J.R. Todd, Dave Connolly, seventh, Terry McMillan, eighth, ninth, Tony Schumacher, and tenth is Leah Pritchett. She's on the bubble. She's 119 back. Richie Crampton is 120 back, so that can go either way. That can change it within a race and in next event. So, in the funny car division, John Force teammates, team president Robert Height leads. Father-in-law and owner John Force by 47. Ron Capps is third. Ron Capps was second. He did not qualify. Ron Capps wasn't even in the event. Del Worsham, fourth. Fifth is Jack Beckman. Sixth, Courtney Force. Seventh, Chad Head. With her win, Alexis moves from the bubble to eighth. Tim Wilkerson, ninth, and Matt Hagen is in tenth. In the pro stock, Jason Lyne maintains his lead over teammate Greg Anderson. 48 points there. Teammate Bo Butner. They were calling him Bob Utner. I think one of the places where the name on the window on the passenger side looked like it said Bob Utner. I thought it said Bob Utner, too, and then Lyne called him Bob Utner. He's 132 back in third, so there's three teammates. And then you have Elite Motorsports in fourth with Drew Stillman. Fifth, Chris McGahey. Alan Johnson, sixth. Seventh is Jed Coughlin. Another Elite Motorsports driver, teammate to Drew, and eighth is Vincent Nobile. Ninth, with her run to the semis, Eric Enders Stevens, and tenth, Alex Laughlin. It's just weird, like I was saying, the Dodges and the Chevy swap out. If you're not going to change all of them, why change them at all? My opinion. I'll have to ask her that. to get her on again. She got a couple weeks off, I think. Anyway, Pro Stock Motorcycle did not run yesterday. So, then the next time they run. Next race coming up. Big one, Z-Max Dragway in 2 weeks. 3 weekends from now for the 4-wide Nationals. That's going to be a big one there. 4 cars. Imagine Top Fuels and Funny Car. Nitro burning 10,000 horsepower apiece. Lining up all at once on the tree and taking off at the same time. I know what it's like with two. That rattles your bones and everything inside your body. Anybody who's ever been to an NHRA event, standing by the starting line, knows what I'm talking about, especially in, if you're covering the sport. When I did, went up to Englishtown, I experienced something I never had in my life, and I got to do it again. So, anyway, they'll be in action in Charlotte on the weekend of April 22nd. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 22nd through the 24th. They used to have a Thursday listing, but I guess they chopped them out a day, which is good. So that's the next time the NHRA will be in action. On to NASCAR, the Camping World Truck Series. It was a dominating run by none other than the 18 car driven by, you guessed it, the defending Sprint Cup champion, Kyle Busch. He led 4 times for 123 laps, taking just about all the points from everybody. And at least the second place finisher was a Truck Series regular, John Hunter Nemechek. He didn't lead any laps. The laps were led by Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, Cameron Haley, and Ben Rhodes. At least we had 2 series regulars, Ben Rhodes being a Truck Series rookie. Actually led 42 laps, but Kyle Larson led 79 laps. But so it was pretty much dominated by the Cup Series. They ran 255 laps. They were only supposed to run 250. It did go overtime. The margin of victory, 0.042, almost half a second. So Kyle got a little bit away on the last restart and was able to pull it off for the win, winning a grandfather clock, even though it was a small one. In comparison, they only run the Truck Series and the Cup Series. The big one is the grandfather clock. So Kyle Busch takes that one. John Hunter Nemechek second. William Byron third. Kyle Larson fourth. Tim Peters fifth. Sixth, Spencer Gallagher. Seventh, Matt Crafton, Parker Kligerman eighth, Cameron Haley ninth, and Rico Abreu round out the top 10. It was a 2-hour, 10-minute, and 12-second race. Hope everybody got their full of Martinsville hot dogs over the weekend. Average speed at 61.8 miles per hour, which, when you're talking Martinsville, it's not that fast. It's the paperclip. Quarters are tight. There were 11 cautions for 68 laps out of 255. That's pretty decent. 8 lead changes amongst 4 drivers. Your pole sitter was Ben Rhodes. He wound up finishing 16th, so he led the first 42 laps. Claire Decker is filling in for Jennifer Jo Cobb. She's playing team owner, and she's battling some skin cancer, so we wish her well. Have to get her on the show. Claire driving the AMSOIL Chevrolet. So we'll try to get her on. We've had Jennifer Jo on. She hasn't been on in a while. She's a team owner, driver, marketer, just got married not too long ago. Before that, it was tough to get her on because she's always involved in stuff. And the running joke was I used to interrupt her dinner time because I used to be on at 8 o'clock, and she used to have dinner at 8 o'clock, but... Now that I'm on in the afternoon, we'll have to see. I'll reach out to her on Facebook. Hopefully she'll reply. But it's tough to say. So here's your winning driver sitting with his crew chiefs after the win for the Camping World Truck Series, Kyle Busch.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we can have your attention, we are now joined by today's winner of the Alpha Energy Solution 250, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 Toyota for Kyle Busch Motorsports, and his crew chief, Wes Ward. This is Kyle's first win at Martinsville and his 45th win in the Camping World Truck Series. Kyle, congratulations. Talk a little bit about what it means to get your first grandfather clock.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've gotten a couple, I guess, as an owner, but have yet to have scored my first one for myself, so this is a pretty cool day, and I just can't thank everyone at Kyle Busch Motorsports enough. I can't thank Wes Ward for taking time out of his life to come be a part of this whole program on the fourth team. You know, it's just kind of a bunch of guys we threw together to kind of go have some fun and run some races to kind of do some R&D stuff and work on some things. So obviously it seemed to be turning out so far so good, but just great day. You know, really looking forward to tomorrow as well, too, with the race car that I got on M&M's Camry. So we'll see how that goes, too.
There's Kyle Busch winning his first grandfather clock as a driver in the Camping World Truck Series. Hard to believe. 45 wins in the Truck Series. 77 wins or 78 wins in the Nationwide Series, the all-time winner. He's got a shot at 100 for that one. And that set the stage, and he said he had a good car for the STP 500 on Monday, and we'll get to what happened there. Of course, the Grand Marshal was A.J. Cook, and the honorary pace car star driver was Melissa Joan Hart. Everybody remember her?
We have with us the star of CBS Criminal Minds, which is entering its 11th season, the actress and Grand Marshal for today's STP 500, A.J. Cook. So, A.J., thank you so much for joining us today, and how excited are you to be the Grand Marshal, and how, be honest, how much have you been practicing, given the most famous words in all of motorsports?
People keep asking me, how much have you been practicing, and now I'm getting nervous because I feel like I haven't practiced enough. No, I'm honored and thrilled to be here to be asked to say the most famous words in sports is pretty cool. So,
open it up for any questions.
There you have now, was that A.J. Cook or Melissa Joan Hart? Because the way they have this listed in the audio. But anyway, that set the stage for the STP 500, and guess what? For somebody who hasn't won the grandfather clock as a driver until Saturday, when they won their first one in the truck in a dominating fashion, Sunday was kind of no different. Kyle Busch did it again, sweeping the weekend, his ninth sweep of his career. Led five times for 352 of the 500 laps. So, yeah, folks. It wasn't... that much of a runaway as it seemed. He did pretty much dominate the whole day, but it did come down, of course, to a late restart, because at lap 485, the yellow came out for Jamie McMurray spinning. Of course, I think he cut a tire at the time. He was rubbing pretty good toward the end of the race there, and he couldn't get down the pit road, and the tire went and brought out the final yellow. So it did make it interesting, because it set the stage for a good finish. The surprising finish wasn't so much Kyle dominating. That is not out of the norms. But the second place finisher was A.J. Allmendinger. It was a great run for him. He had to pass a few cars just to get there. Keselowski, Austin Dillon, who was battling a little ways back, had to pass Kyle Larson. That set the stage for the final restart. And you go up against Kyle Busch on a restart, you might as well forget it. One, going in as the leader, he had lane choice. Two, he's got restarts down to a science. They used to say, Ron Hornaday, king of the restarts, but I think Kyle Busch took lessons from Hornaday and took it to a whole new level, and was able to get out ahead of him for the final 11 laps and take the win. So that being said, top 10 finishers are Kyle Busch, Allmendinger, Kyle Larson third, Austin Dillon fourth, fifth, Brad Keselowski, sixth, Carl Edwards. Brian Vickers, good run for him, subbing for Tony Stewart. And seventh, eighth, Paul Menard. Menard and Austin Dillon trading some paint there a little while ago, but they're on the same team. They sorted out. Ninth, Jimmy Johnson. And tenth is Ryan Newman. Good run for Danica, 16th. She was as high as seventh. Kevin Harvick was 17th. There's teammates there. Teammate Kurt Busch was 13th. And like I said, Brian Vickers. The other part of Stuart Haas driving crew was in the top 10. Good run for him. Brian Vickers didn't have that problem, and those health problems, he'd probably be in a car full time. But every time he gets a roll going, he winds up having to step aside and go back, because he develops blood clots, and that's not a good thing. So the points, well, and we'll get to in a minute. Margin of victory, 0.6, two-thirds of a second, 0.663, 3 hours, 17 minutes, and 2 seconds. Average speed, 80 mile an hour. Like I said, it's the tight track. There were 8 cautions for 51 laps, which is low for a short track race like that. 11 lead changes amongst 5 drivers. So your drivers were Kyle Busch, Paul Menard led 10 laps, Joey Logano led 21 laps, Kenseth led 45 laps, and Kevin Harvick led the second most with 72 laps. Of course, I picked Joe Logano to win the race. He was on the pole, but the pole was not to be had. The points, as we know it, Harvick leading the points, Johnson second, Kyle Busch third. Now he's in the chase with the win. He's a lock. He's only a point behind Jimmy Johnson, who has two wins. If the seeding sets, it doesn't matter. The points will be the tiebreaker in the seeding. The points reset. So Johnson would lead the seeding because he has two wins right now, but that could change. So Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, Joey Logano, 5, 6, Braddy Kay, 7, Austin Dillon, 8, Kurt Busch, 9th, Denny Hamlin, 10th, Dale Jr., Martin Truex, 11th, 12th, A.J. Allmendinger, 13th, Jamie McMurray, 14th, Matt Kenseth, 15th, Ryan Blaney, and 16th, Chase Elliott. Where did old Chase finish in the race this week? 20th, started 10th, so he backed it up. And Ryan Blaney did have some problems, and finished in 19th, just ahead of Chase Elliott. But he was able to stay. Martinsville aerodynamics isn't a problem. Ryan Blaney was the last car on the lead lap at 19th, Chase Elliott in 20th. First car one lap down. So that being said, series heads out to the Texas Motor Speedway this weekend, running under the lights, I'm sure, on a Saturday or late on Sunday for the Duck Commander 500, as will be under the lights as it was last year. It is interesting to see who's going to take the event. In the spring race, it was a Jimmy Johnson win to lock him in the chase. And, of course, in November, he actually swept Texas a few tracks. Jimmy swept in his career. So if you look at November, it was Johnson, Harvick, Dale Jr., Logano, Keselowski. I'm looking for see who I'm going to pick right now. So in November, it was Johnson, Keselowski, Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Carl Edwards, and Dale Jr. So Dale Jr., Harvick, Keselowski, and this was during the chase, so this actually meant something to the chasers in November. So it was actually the day before my birthday last season. But Johnson swept it. Brad Kay was up there. Jeff Gordon, who was not in the series this year, in the booth. He was 9th. McMurray, both Busch brothers in the April race. Penske drivers, Harvick Jr. was 3rd. McMurray was higher in 6th. Gordon, again, that'll be Chase Elliott's ride, so I'm not looking for him. He might get in the top 10, but as far as picking somebody to win, I'm not going there. We'll get to that. We did catch up with Kyle Busch.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are now joined by today's race winner of the STP 500, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's 75th anniversary Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. This is Kyle's 35th career win. He led 352 laps today, the most at Martinsville since Bobby Hamilton led 378 in 1998. So, Kyle, congratulations. Tell us a little bit about your race out there today.
Yeah, it was a really good car, you know, obviously with practice and everything and learning some things about the car and the track yesterday. We were able to have a really good piece, and we knew that, understood that, and then we were able to come out here today and put it all together and have a really good piece all throughout the race as well, too. And leading as many laps as we did, that was really good for us. It was a confidence boost for me as well, too, just being up front that much. I've never really felt like I've had a car to be able to do that in years past, but Adam and the guys were able to give that to me this time around. So pumped about, the things that I learned here this weekend, let alone the years past or years prior. that I was able to learn, and of course my teammates that helped me out a lot here over the years. So to be able to finally put it all together, pretty cool, and take home not one but two Martinsville trophies, Martinsville clocks, is pretty awesome.
We are also joined by Crew Chief Adam.
There's Kyle Busch. The big thing in the news wasn't so much the win, as what happened after the win. Apparently, Kyle Busch heading home from the track was out on the road. I figure it's only a few hours to Charlotte by vehicle. So Kyle was driving home, and I guess he was still in town, stuck in traffic, because race traffic is something you have to deal with. And coming out of Martinsville, there's not real highway access that soon. So, yes, I've been there once. It was a great experience, and I'm glad I live in the area now. I can drive there, and I don't need a hotel. But that being said, they was driving home, and was winds up next to a car in traffic. I guess sees the passenger of the car next to him wearing a M&M's hat, Kyle's sponsor, has the window down, and shouts over to her, and she like starts freaking out because sitting next to her is her favorite car, her favorite driver, and the guy who won the race. And he asked for her hat. She handed it over. He signed it, gave it back to her. It was pretty neat. That's, you know, Kyle Busch does get a rap for being the type of person that you would think has a different personality, but I guess if they're a bad finish or a bad day at the track, you might think that, but every time I've seen the guy, he's always in a good mood and seems a lot more fun than you think he is. Yeah, he's been cranky at times. Maybe that's the word I should use, like cranky, as a cranky person normally, but he's not. And I think what happened last year with the injury and the birth and his son's birth, and you know, he's matured a bit. Sometimes it happens like that, and you know, we had a little bit of growing up. But good for Kyle Busch to acknowledge a fan in the vehicle next to him. Yeah, he was driving the car home. Hey, you're driving 500 miles or 500 laps. 250 miles in a hot, stinky car in a full fire suit and helmet, and then drive it home after the race. Of course, you probably hit the motor coach and cleaned up a bit, showered and all that, and that refreshes you a good bit, so he was headed home. But going into Texas, I don't know. I want to say I'm kind of torn between Harvick and Junior. Do I think Johnson's got a shot? Yeah, he actually dominated the April race, and Brad Kay kind of dominated the November race. But, excuse me, it's only 334 laps because it's 500 miles on a mile-and-a-half track. So, kind of interesting. Do I want to go with Jimmy Johnson? I usually save him for Dover. Eh, maybe I will. Or is Kevin Harvick going to find the groove again? You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jimmy Johnson this week. That's my pick for Texas. Tune in Saturday night on should be on Fox, regular network for the Duck Commander 500, the night, Saturday night race. I love night racing. It's always fun. Anyway, we'll take it all from there. Anyway, thanks for joining me this week. Next week, I have a special guest coming on, season six of The Voice, sixth place finisher. Somebody I've become friends with since she's been on a couple times. She'll be performing at a NASCAR show. So we're going to find out more about that. That'll be Audra McLaughlin, Jean Blake. So tune in next week, and we'll see who else we get lined up in the meantime. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com. See you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.